Thank you.
This is a point of order, Summer.
Nia?
Isn't that a standing committee that would require bylaws change, doesn't it?
Is it a standing committee, guys? There's somebody occupying something, and for once it's not myself.
Can I speak on that?
Yes, if you would, Alex, please.
It doesn't sound to me like we're not changing the bylaws. We're not saying that the standing committee known as the technology committee no longer exists. We're simply acknowledging the fact that it's not functioning at the moment, and until we could get it functioning again, we want to have some kind of mechanism for dealing with technology issues. So I don't think there's any bylaws issue involved at all.
Another point of order, Summer? Okay,
but I have Kathy on stack. Is it a point of order? Nia, go ahead.
Well, just so we don't risk, let us dive with it, there's also a bylaw that tells you how to deal with people who don't attend the meeting. And that's what needs to be done.
I
mentioned that. I'll state it again. Unless the meeting has quorum, it is not a meeting. And we've been through this on various occasions. You cannot call a person absent unless it was a meeting, and it's not a meeting unless there's quorum. So it's a catch-22. If you've got 20 people who signed up, you need to have 11 there to say anybody's absent. If you only have 7 people showing up, you can't say somebody was absent.
Okay,
that's Robert's rules. That's the bylaws. It's almost on the court. So that's the catch-22 on it. The point is, we will have to get affirmative resignations from the people who would choose not to attend. So we can lower the number of people who are on the committee, and then we can get a quorum and start signing absences. Hasn't happened in other committees I'm in, but it's happening in this one. And last year, there was, very poor attendance also in the technology committee. So I know that people have fantastically good intentions, want to be involved in everything. But when it comes to the end of the day, the technology committee is like...
Okay, thank you, Ken. All right, folks. The quorum issue, Kathy, you're next on stack, and I know you've had a quorum motion just, again, languishing like many other things, so go ahead and please speak.
Right, yeah, I actually did want to point that out, that the motion was brought up at the in-person meeting that committees be allowed to function. If that ever comes to a vote, it might solve the problem. But there is another issue that I believe we're not paying attention to, and that is that we did not form committees in the same manner as we have historically. So what's happened is that these committees have on their rosters everyone who was there last year, plus those people who volunteered this year. And what had happened is I had discovered, and it may be true for other people, that I was on a committee that I didn't actually volunteer for this year. So it may be that we have to go over the roles of last year's people and see if they actually intended to be on the committee this year. You know, you understand?
Yes.
So it may be that we just have to reestablish the role just by inquiry to see if people still want to remain on the committees that they didn't volunteer for.
Thank you,
Kathy. I can respond to that. We sent out emails to all of the people who were listed as being part of the committee asking if they truly want to participate or resign. Nobody offered to step down. So there's been no email response.
Well, maybe
we
nobody
tried that.
I didn't see that. I'm on that committee, and I didn't see that.
All right, folks, so we've got ourselves a quandary here. You know, we went through the same thing on audit committee, needing to scrub the list and, you know, are there more people there, the whole dual director thing. I mean, this place is chaos in action. I think that we do need to have a way for these committees. It's very disheartening to people, you know, chat an evening that could have been doing something fun with their lives or useful and productive, and they get together with enough other people that they could actually get something done, and then they can't do anything because there's an arbitrary disallowance of any activity.
Well, point of information, this is...
So I think we do need to resolve this so that we don't kill people's, like, positive energy. Development Task Force at this point, yeah, but we still talk to each other even if there are only five people on the call, you know? So go ahead.
Point of information, this is Kathy.
Kathy, yes.
Is there any reason why we can't vote on that motion that was brought up at the in-person meeting?
Why don't you bring it to the floor? I mean, you know, anytime you've got the floor, if it's, like, germane to the issue at hand, I mean, it could be a substitute motion, you know?
There's a point of order. There's a motion on the floor.
Right, and she could substitute with a more robust motion that encompasses more than the technology committee. That's all I'm saying, if she
wants
to. Yes,
that's correct. Yes, she could substitute.
So if you would like to do that, Kathy, you're right.
Well, I would like to do that, but I don't have the internet, so I can't pull it up.
Bill, can I prevail upon you? It's on the agenda to scroll down and read it aloud, if you'd be willing.
Okay, well, I'll find it.
Thank you. And Teresa on the stack. Good, thank you. Go ahead, Teresa. Okay.
And I've got it.
I think we should go with the motion that's on the floor right now. And I don't understand why there's any confusion about who is on this committee. Seems like on the national level, we had people that sign up for who wanted to be on a committee. And if you didn't sign up on the national level, you're not on the committee. I think we should be able to contact the secretaries of each LSB and have them report who on the local level is on a committee. So I would say... Let's go with the motion, let them act as a task force until they get it cleared up as to who is on the committee right now. I think that it might have been better, instead of saying, if you don't want to be on this committee, contact us, to have sent an email out and say, if you want to serve on the committee, contact us. But shouldn't our secretary or somebody have sent us out an Excel spreadsheet that says that who's on every committee, because we have done that in the past?
Yes, they have, but there's still some confusion. Plus, you just have the thing of people overcommitting on paper when they're at a meeting and not actually showing up for the meeting, because people prioritize according to their interest and knowledge, and sometimes just don't show up because it's on a bad day of the week for them every time it's whatever. You know, I mean, things happen, and these committees are larger than the people that show up for them sometimes. Kathy had the floor with her substitute. Bill found the language. Bill, could you go ahead and read the language, please? And if Kathy gets
okay,
a second on.
This is number 9 from the April 12th meeting agenda. Motion by David's quorum. Resolved that PNB committees be empowered to conduct a meeting in the absence of a quorum in order to further the committee's business, with the proviso that any motions other than agenda setting or the setting of the date of the next meeting be held to the next parenthesis quorum meeting for a vote.
Okay, so it's somewhat different in character, but is that the entire motion?
This is
yes,
Lydia.
And I'd like to be on the stack, too. But
okay,
I don't know if Kathy wants to move that as a substitute motion or not. We need to find that out.
Yeah, first let me go to Kathy. Do you wish to move that as a substitute at this point?
Sure.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Second from Wesley. Thank you. Okay, Bill and then Lydia.
I understand Kathy's suggestion, but I think this complicates things too much. I'd rather just vote on the original fine that committee, and let's don't open the doors to all the committees this other way for now. The other problem is a technical problem for the other committees is it takes time and effort to stream and record all these meetings, and the regular committees, shouldn't be encouraging people to not attend. And that I think that's what it might end up doing. But the technology committee, I'm in favor of it, the motion from that committee.
Thank you, Bill. Lydia?
Yeah, I'm in favor of the technology committee motion, but my issue with Kathy's has all along been, number one, the governance committee a few years back passed a very good motion about at which point you remove members in order to make quorum. I think that this contradicts even the quorum motion in spirit, if not in by the letter of the one that was sent out on the other LSB, non-quorum meeting issue a couple weeks ago. And I don't think that we want to be flirting with that when there's already a motion. I don't have it handy, but I could certainly look it up, I think, for the next meeting. And I think we should come up with a solution. But it's like another one of those things, Summer, you've mentioned it at the LSB. It's a matter of enforcing what we have.
Yeah,
so since it requires, you know, the absence of the three meetings, and the committees just have to be active and get rid of those members. Even if they miss two, there should be a phone call and say, you know, we're going to replace them. And I don't know that all these absentees are necessarily directors. Probably when I've experienced non-quorum meetings, it's often been at the LSB level as well. So anyway, so that would be my suggestion. I would vote against Kathy's motion at this point, but I would vote for the main motion.
Okay, thank you. All right, so why don't we just go ahead and take a vote on the substitute, and then we'll see if on the main. Okay, and that way we can get through. I think we could go to George's motion, and then we could do our half hour of executive session and still get out earlier than most nights.
Point of order.
Real quick, please.
Sure, let me take the point of order, and then I'll take Ivan with the point of order from Kathy.
This is Kathy.
Yes.
Someone put forth an idea that a letter should be sent to people asking them to affirm whether or not they're on the committee.
Someone did say that. I think Teresa did.
Yes,
Teresa. Thank you.
Okay. Was that a motion?
No. No, I think she was saying, from what, at least if I'm reiterating correctly, was like in the affirmative rather than negative, rather than I think what Ken had said, an email asking, like, do you not want to be on this committee, rather inviting people, you know, do you want to be on this committee, you know. So I think it was more of a suggestion. So is there any objection to taking, oh, I'm sorry, Ivan, please, you asked.
Could you repeat the substitute motion, please?
Yes, of course, thank you. Bill, would you mind reading it again?
Okay.
Thank you.
Resolved that PNB committees be empowered to conduct a meeting in the absence of a quorum in order to further the committee's business, with the proviso that any motions other than agenda setting or the setting the date of the next meeting be held to the next parenthesis quorum, unquote, unparenthesis, meeting for a vote.
Thank you. So the substitute motion is what Bill has just read. If you vote for it, yes, that would replace the technology committee motion. If you vote no, then the technology committee motion would be on the floor, and then it would be a yes or no on that. Secretary, could you call the roll, please?
I'm sorry, point of information.
Yes, Kathy.
I know that you suggested that this motion be a substitute motion. And my question was why it couldn't just be voted on as it is. Because my understanding is that the motion from the Development Task Force is asking to create, I'm sorry, not development, a technology.
Yes.
It's asking to create a technology task force, right?
It's asking to be able to operate as one until it is able to.
But according to the bylaws, you can't dismantle
the
committee. So then we would have two, both a committee and a task force at that point. Is that correct?
Ken, would you like to address that as the maker of the motion?
No.
There's
no such time as it can operate as a committee.
I think it's not that there would be two separate organisms, but rather that it would function as a task force until it's sufficiently operational to be a committee, probably i.e. having a sufficient number of members participating. Although I do believe in the sort of like, you know, weeding out people who don't want to participate and bringing down your quorum level. That is definitely a good practice. But yes, that would be, it wouldn't be two separate. It would just...
So can you... Can you clarify whether this is going against the bylaws or not?
on the fly, can I clarify if it's going against the bylaws or not?
Lydia,
Well, I'm just going to say that I think that functionally we would like things to be able to operate and to do something. I'm happy. Lydia, would you like to comment on
Yeah, I just want to say that this is not a standing committee, is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is. That's the point.
Yeah, that's why technology is so sticky.
Oh, okay. So, sorry.
Yeah.
I'd like to speak to that question.
And I would like to propose that the issue also be sent to governance to consider a bylaws amendment, so that this is not a standing committee, because since I have been on the board for years, the technology committee faces the same problem.
Yep. Couldn't agree more there. So I think George was the other person who asked to speak, so maybe you can...
I don't think this is really a bylaws violation. The bylaws say we should have such a committee, but it doesn't really say how that committee should operate, which is really our standing rules about that. And we're entitled to make the standing rules as we like as a board. And so I think what we're saying is our rule is going to be what Ken has proposed for this committee. And I don't see any problem with that as far as the bylaws are concerned.
Thank you, George. So it's just operational. So, Kathy, did you want to
ask? I had asked to speak.
I'm sorry, Nia. Please, go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to make a motion that an email be sent from the convener of the technology committee to all, well, I can't even say members, but members listed on the KPFTX roster, asking them, please respond within 2 weeks whether or not they would like to remain on the committee. After that, based on the response, then that will establish your membership, and that's it. I think that will solve the problem. I know Ken said he did it, but it's strange Kathy said she didn't get one.
No,
point of order, we have two motions on the floor.
Yeah, I can't take it as another motion. I know. And besides,
but you can have two substitutes.
It's a friendly suggestion.
You can't substitute on a substitute.
Yeah, and it's not the same type of, it's a different.
It's not the same motion.
I think that has been done. I served on technology the year before, and we had quorum issues, and sometimes I was part of the quorum issue. I mean, it's just it's sometimes hard to be overspread, and technology does seem to have. It has, like, dedicated people, but not enough of them. So we're going to deal with the two motions that are on the floor. I think if the technology committee could take that as a friendly suggestion to send out another reminder letter, by all means, it would have the support of the board. Where we stand right now is we have Kathy's motion, which covers a broader range and has issues that don't allow you to pass anything until there actually is a quorum meeting, which is from Ken's motion. And you had asked, Kathy, could it be taken up as a separate motion? Would you like to withdraw it as a substitute here and entertain it elsewhere? It was originally elsewhere. It just dealt with quorum issues. And
Well, technically the reason I put forth that motion is because I suffered the same issues on the technology committee. But in fact, we got a lot of work done and could have gotten much more work done had the constraint not been there that the meeting wouldn't continue. So we would have a meeting, we would have a great discussion, we had committees, people were doing work, people were reporting back work. So there was a lot getting done. And what I saw was this prohibition of going on the stream and of engaging in a way as a committee should, because maybe one or two persons weren't there. And I felt that that was a restriction that was shouldn't have been there, and I didn't feel that the committee being able to go forward and do work shouldn't be controlled only by the notion of streaming. So that was the problem. I felt that a committee can get a lot done when they're cooperating, and quorum is not a prohibition. And so that was the reason for it. The reason I asked you why did it have to languish at the bottom of the agenda when it was put onto the agenda early in the year, and it's so. And you suggested to make it a substitute motion, and I grasped at that just by as a means of dealing with the daggone motion instead of seeing it there for another 3 or 4 years, like the rest of them. So, you know, do I want it to be a substitute? That wasn't my original intent. Do I want to see these issues addressed? Yes. And so, so it's kind of a quandary.
No, I gotcha.
What I want is for the committees to be able to function and not be limited from functioning. That's what I want.
Okay.
However that can happen.
Thank you. This seems like some sort of parliamentary parsing of fine points. I completely understand what Kathy is saying, which is the technology committee could have its motion and separate and apart from the motion that she's envisioning here. So I'm the one that got
it. Point of order, Summer?
Yes, George.
It really can't be withdrawn. It's not Kathy's decision.
Because it belongs to the body. Thanks, George. Okay.
We vote on it first and move on.
And
it can be reintroduced again.
Thank you. Good. Okay. Well, sorry about that. I didn't mean to lead us astray there. I didn't like seeing it languishing either, and I do agree the quorum issues are just mental sometimes for various committees, but technology particularly and governance too at times, so and some others. All right, Madam Secretary, if you could call the roll, this is on the substitute motion encompassing quorum issues on any committees that are experiencing them, and yes vote will support that and no will not, and depending on that, the technology committee is after that. Go ahead, please, ma'am.
Ken Aaron?
No.
Ivan Altabay?
No.
Teresa Allen?
No.
Nia Bediako?
No.
Wesley Bethune?
Yes.
Carolyn Burton?
I'll have to pass. I was off the call for a few minutes. I'll pick up in a minute. Thank you.
Lydia Brazon.
I'll abstain.
Bill Crozier.
No.
Kathy Davis.
Yes.
Revlon Gold. Can't hear you, Revlon. Heather Gray?
No.
Who's the next person? Campbell Johnson?
Why do you say oh no before you say my name? I'll pass. I'll abstain.
Okay. I said, who's the next person?
But I heard that oh no.
That's what you heard. That's not what I said. Allie Lexa?
No.
Isia One Gaza abstain. Laura Priebus?
No.
Summer, okay, she doesn't vote. Marcel Reed?
Abstain.
George Ryder?
Abstain.
Tracy Rosenberg?
No.
Dan Siegel? Can't hear you, Dan. Alex Steinberg? Alex Steinberg? Can't hear you, Alex. Andrea Turner?
Abstain.
Okay, let's see. Carolyn Burden, how do you vote?
I will have to abstain. Thank you.
Okay, and I assume that Revlon is absent. And let's see. Dan Siegel? Okay, Dan is absent. And Alex Steinberg? Can't hear you, Alex. So, not voting. Okay, so let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, that's not the way. 1, 2. Damn. I got 2 yeses. Is that all there are? 1, 2. I only have 2 yeses. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 noes. And 1, 2. No, that's not. Yeah, that's right. 1, 2, 3. No. Oh, rats. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 abstentions.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Okay, so we'll go to the underlying main motion, the Technology Committee motion. Could you be kind enough to reiterate the motion, Bill, please, or Ken?
Okay. You want me to?
Thank you. Yes,
that the Tech Committee be allowed to operate as a task force until such time as the group can be reestablished as a committee.
Thank you. Madam Secretary, if you could call the roll, please. Is there any objection to the motion?
Yes, no objection.
Thank you. Madam Secretary, could you call the roll, please?
Ken Aaron?
Yes.
Ivan Alcime?
No.
Teresa Allen?
Yes.
Mia Bediaco?
No.
Leslie Bethune?
No.
Carolyn Burton?
Yes.
Lydia Brazan?
You did? Yes.
Let's see. Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Kathy Davis?
I abstain.
Pardon?
I abstain.
Revelyn Gold? Can't hear you, Revelyn. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Campbell Johnson?
I'll pass.
Okay. Ali Lexa?
Yes.
Isia Wangaza abstains. Laura Priebus?
Yes.
Marcel Reed?
Abstain.
Okay. George Ryder?
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
Dan Siegel? Can't hear you, Dan. Alex Steinberg? Alex Steinberg? Can't hear you, Alex. Andrea Turner?
No.
Okay, so let's see. Campbell, how do you vote?
Yes.
Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, yes. And 1, 2, 3, 4 no's, and 1, 2, 3 abstentions. Eleven yes, 4 no's, and 3 abstentions.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Okay, so all right, thank you, Technology Committee. Hope you do well with your work now. so we're at about 10 after 7 or 10 after 10, depending on which coast. Shall we continue so that we can get to this programming committee motion and go until about 7:30, 7:40? And there was a request to go into executive session. Yes,
Ms. Madam Chair, this is Ivan.
Hi, Ivan.
I just wanted to know. I think I heard someone stated earlier that last year there was an amendment or motion passed to deal with quorums, right?
To deal with quorums?
Yes.
No, it's
didn't somebody address that issue?
That was Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Yeah, no, when I was previously on the board and in governance, we did pass a motion and it had a whole process. You email the people, and you also call them by phone to make sure that they have that last chance to stay on the committee or be removed in order to continue to make quorums.
Thank you.
Thank you. The reason why I'm voting in this
I've got a correction on that. I'm very familiar with that motion.
Okay, can I say something real quick? The reason why I'm bringing this up, because to me, I find it quite problematic when we already passed something last year, and here we and not even trying to somehow implement what we passed last year. We try to introduce something new again. So I find it to be very problematic.
Ivan, it's not last year. She's speaking from several years ago. And
this is Ken. I want to make a correction to what Lydia stated.
Wait,
information.
Please. Go ahead.
The motion that Lydia is referring to has to do with people who have three unexcused absences, and it was to mitigate against someone who was not notified. It therefore mandated that the chair or the secretary of the committee make a stringent, significant attempt to notify the person that he was coming up on his third unexcused absence. It doesn't deal with the issue of not having a meeting, so you technically can't say that anybody's been absent because you haven't reached quorum. That was not covered in that motion.
That's
the
correct.
Situation we have.
That's correct.
So, Ivan, this is a different situation.
Thank you, Lydia. Yeah, I think, Ivan, and that is something which is applicable at the local level as well, the three unexcused absences. And what Ken is addressing is, like, some of these committees never meet quorum for, like, months at the beginning of the year, so they're never able to actually say, you didn't show up at a meeting because technically there was never a meeting, which is a very, it's a catch-22 situation. So,
I'd like to go on the stack in terms of extending this meeting to go over the program council promotion.
Sure, please. I just want to get the feel of the body here.
If there's been consensus that we're going to have a meeting in a week, I think we should adjourn at this point because I feel that there's going to be some discussion on this, and I think it deserves proper discussion and debate, and I don't want to rush it through at the end of this meeting within 15 minutes.
Okay. Thank you.
So I would recommend adjourning at this point.
Point of information, we haven't decided about the meeting of next week. That was just proposed by email. Can we at least be on the streams?
I agree.
Sure. If we want to take that up right at this point, I had proposed, because we didn't have our legal counsel with us this evening, that we have a shorter evening tonight, and I went ahead and grabbed a date on the KPFTX meeting calendar because it was open, which is for May 2nd. And for those of us who are going to be really involved with May Day, you know, May 2nd, we'll be tired, but it's a day our legal counsel is available. It was one of the only free dates on the KPFTX meeting calendar and was sooner than our next scheduled meeting date of May 10th. And I didn't want to cancel the May 10th one either because, you know, one of the things we keep saying is we can't get through all of the business we need to get done here. And so a member had asked about scheduling an extra meeting. So that is what I did. And I scheduled an extra meeting. Sure, point of information first, and then I'll come to Lydia. Go ahead. Here's the point of information.
Ms. Bill, but we will have plenty of time to talk about it if we don't have an executive session tonight, right? Will that time for the program committee motion?
Well, it's the will of the body. Yeah, we could stay in open session for another half hour and do the programming committee motion, or we could go into executive session for half an hour. I don't see any point in staying for a 3.5-hour meeting if we're going to meet again next week, which is part of my point. If we're going to meet 3 times in 3 weeks, we could be slightly human to ourselves. So, yes, that is essentially it. Do we want to stay in open a little longer or go into closed for a little while? So,
Wesley here.
Okay, I've got Lydia and then Wesley. Go ahead.
Nia? please, Summer?
Yeah, I mean, I would object to meeting next week. We're going to meet the week right after that. And, you know, all, the rest of us schedule our lives around these meetings, which is why we come up with the schedule at the beginning of the year. When there's an emergency, that's a different thing. If we have to make a decision on a legal case for a settlement or something extremely pressing that can't wait, in this case, just for 2 weeks. But most of us, I mean, it's not like I wouldn't cancel what I'm doing to make the meeting, but the point is that I don't see the pressing need, and we haven't been given a compelling reason of why we have to add that whole other meeting. We all cleared our night tonight to have a meeting, and to have two meetings, actually. And Andy should also have access to the same calendar that we have, and he missed the last one as well. So I think if he needs us to call him in advance and let him know we're having the meeting, whatever it takes.
Oh, no, Lydia, no, he and I discussed this. He could be here if absolutely necessary. There was quite a murmur of wanting to schedule extra meetings at our last meeting because we weren't getting through enough stuff. So
okay, well, I'm
completely open. He's available on the 10th as well.
Okay,
so,
okay, well, I'm not privy to murmurs. So what I would, I'm just saying, I personally, if we're going to go to a vote, and I assume we are, I personally am going to vote no for the next meeting. Having three PMB meetings in a row is not really that productive. Let's meet when we have scheduled, when we've been on the calendar with plenty of notice to reschedule our lives in order to conduct business and do our homework in advance and be given the materials that we need to make informed decisions in advance.
Thank you. Wesley, and then Nia?
Yes, I'm really disappointed that we can't get through our agenda any better than we can. Last time we spent all our time talking about emails, and I believe that there may be a purposeful, I'll call me a conspiracy theorist, but I don't think they want this program council thing to go forward, they being a nebulous term. So with that, I propose that we move the agenda and do our next get on with the program council deal instead of wasting time. Thank you.
Okay, so that sounds like a motion to stay in open session and deal with the programming council motion. Was that a motion?
Oh, second.
Is correct.
Okay, and Bill's a second. Okay, so so it's not apropos to the next meeting date, so we'll have to handle those two separate issues, but it is apropos to what we do next. I guess it's a motion on the floor, so we'll have to deal with it right now. And I had merely proposed the next meeting date. I'm not fixed in stone on this, people. It's whatever everybody wants to do. So the motion on the floor is to move the agenda and stay in open session. It's a half hour is what's allocated on the programming council, so at least half an hour more. And it's been seconded. Do we have to debate this, or can we just vote on it? Is there objection to staying in an open session for another half hour?
Not objection.
Fantastic, Campbell. Thank you. Okay. Excellent. That being said, let's handle this programming council motion. Can we dispense with the meeting date issue? Nia wanted to speak. And let's do it quickly so we can get to the programming council and not waste too much time. Nia, did you want to speak on the date issue?
Yes, please. I what is the purpose of us meeting next week? I do agree with everything that Lydia said on that point, that we're going to have meet 3 weeks in a row. What is the emergency? What are we going to do?
Okay, so my rationale was not that there was an emergency, but several people have said, can't we schedule an extra meeting? We're not getting the attorney could have been available this evening, but it wasn't the best evening. May 2nd was open on the calendar, which would accommodate extra meeting with the hopes that we could clear off more of the open session agenda and also have a decent amount of time for a closed session agenda since there are several topics on the closed session agenda. If that's not the will of the body, it's not necessary. We can meet on May 10th, and we'll just have a bigger closed session agenda on May 10th with less open session time. I'm trying to accommodate. There are obviously differing feelings amongst differing members as to whether they want to meet more frequently or less frequently, whether they want to have an extra meeting scheduled or if this is highly inconvenient to other aspects of their lives, which I totally get that there's a wide range of opinion on these things. So I grabbed May 2nd because it was an available date, and it's really hard to get open meeting dates on the calendar. If it's objectionable to too many people, we do not have to meet next week. It's certainly not set in stone. So the 10th is on the calendar. So I think there is objection. Yes.
This is Ivan.
Hi, Ivan.
I say we should have as many meetings as we can, and the reason is because less meeting or more meeting, to me, it doesn't seem that we do any work anyways. So hopefully the more meetings we have, we can do the business of Pacifica. And I'm kind of quite, tired of our attitude on this board, because when we do meet, it doesn't seem like we accomplish anything.
Thank you. Well said. All right. So let's just take a vote on it, okay? And it'll be, decided by the body. And that way we can get to the programming council motion and get something else tonight. Shall we meet next week, May 2nd, for as an extra meeting between now and our May 10th meeting? And that's it. A yes vote shall support that, and a no will not. And we had discussed earlier having both open and closed Bill had, when we were discussing coordinating committee. So, Madam Secretary, could you just call the roll? A yes vote will support having an extra meeting next week, and a no vote will not. And we'll thank you. Ken Aaron?
Yes.
And Altamay?
Yes.
Teresa Allen?
Yes.
Nia Bediacco?
No.
Wesley Bethune?
Yes.
Carolyn Burton?
Oh, yes.
Lydia Verdon?
No.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Kathy Davis?
No.
Emily Gold? Can't hear you, Reverend. Heather Gray? Can't hear you, Heather.
I'm sorry, yes? Yes, I'm sorry, Afia. Yes, I'm saying yes.
Okay. Campbell Johnson?
Pass.
Ally Lexa?
Yes.
Ifia Wangaza votes no. Laura Priebus?
No.
Marcel Reed?
No.
George Ryder?
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
Dan Spiegel? Can you hear you, Dan? Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Andrea Turner?
No.
Okay. Campbell Johnson?
No.
How do you vote? Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 yes, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 no's. And zero abstentions. Eleven yes, seven no, zero abstentions.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Okay, so the motion passes. We'll have a meeting next week as well. Thank you all. And so now on to the Programming Committee motion. George, do you want to go ahead and stop? Thank you.
The main thrust behind this motion is contained in the passage which says that this is to provide a nexus, a collaborative nexus between the board, the listeners, the staff, and management of the station for the purpose of implementing the programming policies of the LSB and the PNB. It was the sense of the committee that much, if perhaps even all, of the conflict in the organization is over programming. Is people wanting to see things on the air that aren't, people wanting things off the air that are on it, and in particular the people who are closely involved, the LSB and the more interested listeners around them. So it was intended to provide a place which would be a management committee, so it was clear that management retains responsibility for the programming. The only requirement on management, which is new here, is that if there's a conflict between the program director and a vote on the program council, that the program director will explain his thinking about it. He'll justify what he has to say. There's no particular requirement as to how he has to do that, but the idea is that if we at least have a conversation about this, if we at least have a public dialogue where it can be public or do an executive session if it has to be done in an executive session, that some of the suspicion and tensions around the issues would disappear. It has some other functions. The Program Council would serve to provide basically staff for doing evaluation for the program director. The program director is requested to provide some training for the program council so that they'll have some sense of what the issues he deals with are and how putting the considerations that go into putting together a grid. It can be a place, and I feel this particularly strongly myself, having had my show removed at one point, with no place to go about it. It can be a place where if there is no other appeal procedure, so if there are unions in place, then this would have no force. But if there is no other procedure, it's a place where grievances can be heard by the program council. Again, the last decision is still left to management about the outcomes. But at least it's a place to be heard. That's the substance of it. There was some consideration, considerable discussion about how to put it together. The present recommendation is that it consists of one-third staff elected by STV and one-third members of the LSB, also elected by an STV election, and one-third listeners appointed jointly by the LSB and the program director by some procedure satisfactory to both. There was a minority report from Michael Novick, which I sent to you all. I thought it was included in the original motion that I sent forth, but it didn't show up on the agenda. And Michael's argument was that the LSB shouldn't be involved. You can read it yourself, but it has governance functions, and it shouldn't be involved in selecting people for the program council. I think that's just... I just don't think that makes a lot of sense. We have staff on the LSB. And I think that's appropriate. I think this sort of artificial separation between sort of the managers and the managed is not really consistent with the kind of progressive values that we have. In any case, the LSB members are simply being selected by the LSB. They become responsible to the program council when they sit on the program council, and I think people can do that kind of thing just fine. So I recommend that you support the motion as it is.
Tracy for the staff, please.
Are you done, George?
I'm done.
Thank you. Zach?
Alex.
Campbell.
Ken.
Actually, I have one. I have one other comment to make.
Go ahead.
Can I just add that?
Yes.
This was sorted out in five meetings of about 2.5 hours each, and it received the agreement of both Alex Steinberg and Bernard White.
Thank you, George. Okay, I've got Alex and then Ken. Go ahead, Alex.
Campbell also.
Okay, I support this motion. I've been involved in activities relating to program councils and program committees for a number of years in my work on the LSB. And what I've seen over and over again is that the level of acrimony rises to a point where it becomes unbearable when there is no mechanism to at least discuss programming decisions. And in many cases, there are no such mechanisms at our stations. This resolution provides a template for creating such a mechanism. It is not, there's nothing in it set in stone, and it doesn't mean that every local station board has to have exactly the same mechanism. We allow for differences in the way things can be implemented on the local level. But the fundamental idea is that there's collaboration between management, the local station board, and listeners with the program director in program decision making. And it is clear that the final decision still rests in the hands of management. Nobody is trying to take away any managerial authority. This is an issue that's sometimes been raised. It's not, certainly not, there's nothing in this motion that would do that. Management retains the last word on programming decisions, but it provides a mechanism for coming to consensus where that is possible, or at least letting people feel that some kind of consideration has been given to their opinions on the subject. Thank you. All right, so I hope you support this motion.
Summer, the point of information. Summer, this is Nia.
Okay, so I've got
Tracy for the stock as well.
Okay, so I've got Ken, Campbell, Nia, Tracy.
And Bill.
Could George please send that out again because I don't have it?
I'm sorry, I had Ken, Campbell, Nia, Tracy, Bill.
Leslie.
I have point of information, Summer. Oh,
what?
Summer?
Yes, Nia?
I have a point of information.
Hello?
Could he please send it out now so we can take a look at it before I vote?
I'm sorry. It was in the
agenda.
Can you send it again, please?
I will, but it's in the agenda on KPSTX. I'll send it out.
Yeah, it's on the agenda.
Summer.
Can
you hear me?
Yes, I can now.
Oh, great. Yes, I would like to be on the stack also.
Okay.
Been hollering it for 5 minutes.
Summer, this is Heather. I'd also like to be on the stack.
Thank you. Okay, great. Okay. Nia, did you want to be on the stack, or were you just asking for the point of information?
I don't want to be on the stack yet, but maybe you should leave me there when I get this. Maybe I'm gonna have something to say. You can leave me at wherever I am. Thank you.
Yeah, you're further up. I'll put you further down on it. Okay, Ken, you're next.
Okay, I believe Tracy was first, and I was after Campbell, but I will courageously go ahead now.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I totally fighted Campbell in all the fray there. Campbell, then Ken. Okay.
Yeah, but I think Tracy was first. I heard.
If you want to switch places, feel free.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Sure. Campbell, Tracy, Ken. Beautiful. And then Bill.
Oh, I'm before Tracy?
Campbell,
okay.
I heard you right up front. It was between
okay.
you and Ken.
Right.
That's where I got screwed up.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that it's clear that the ultimate responsibility is going to stay with staff. That, I think, is a very useful thing. I think that some engagement certainly by the LSB is, at least in a dialogue, is valuable. However, I'm kind of wondering, where we have community advisory boards, isn't part of the function of the community advisory board supposed to be engaging issues about, programming matters so that programming can be not just relevant to the folks who are, part of, I guess you could say, our listenership, but people who may be in the listening area that we may not have been too inclusive in regard to. And I would hope that through the community advisory board or the committee of inclusion, some engagement there, that, these additional voices would be able to be heard and would be included in this, and not as a separate kind of entity, but that a dialogue could take place between management and the various volunteers who are involved with the station. It just seems to me as though I would only seek to amend it to the motion to include the community advisory boards where they exist. That's a motion to amend.
Thank you, Campbell. Okay, we got Tracy and then Ken, then Bill.
No,
and Kathy, please.
Okay, well, I got Wesley and I've got Heather, and then I'll put you, Kathy, and then Nia if she wants to come back on there. Okay, go ahead, Tracy.
Okay, a couple of things. I saw that Campbell made a motion to amend, and you're all going to shoot me, but I'm going to have to make a motion to amend as well. But
okay, hold on. You know what? I just made a parliamentary faux pas, no doubt. I'm sorry, Campbell. Exactly what are you amending? I need to get a second before I move on.
I was just amending it to be inclusive of community advisory boards where they exist.
Okay. Is there a second to that amendment?
Well,
this is Tracy. There's a technical problem with that, which I can explain
it's
if you want.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Details like that, huh? Okay, I'm going to go to Tracy. Just go ahead and elucidate the illegality of CABS being involved with the stuff with the board and management.
Okay. Very quickly, community advisory boards are prevented by, I believe, CPB regulations from having any direct role in programming decisions at the station. So if a program council is going to be participating in programming decision-making, they can have no links, no connections to the community advisory board. Doesn't mean they can't talk to each other and issue reports back and forth, but no member of the community advisory board can participate in decision-making about programming at the station whose advisory board they're on. Okay. In terms of the amendment that I do want to make, it's a fairly specific KPFA-related amendment, and I apologize for it, but sometimes historically there are ways in which we are out of whack with the other stations. For those who don't know, KPFA has had an unpaid staff organization that is recognized by management for more than 30 years, and it does specifically in its own bylaws mandate a certain number of seats on a program council that the station pulls together. So I would like to make an amendment that management recognized unpaid staff organization program council representation would be honored going forward. Because I think that... that's the amendment that I'm putting on the table. And again, I stress management recognized unpaid staff.
Second.
In terms of the motion as a whole, I think that in some ways it's a little overly specific. And I think that at times we're going to certainly have stations wishing that we had been a little bit less specific and given them a little more latitude for their particular stuff. But given the fact that, individuals will adapt, I think that on the whole, it's a good thing and a process that we want to, I'm going to support it, but I do need to put that amendment out there, and I hope someone will second it, because it will be very contentious at KPFA.
It's already been seconded.
Oh, great, because it'll be contentious at KPFA.
I'm sorry, who was the second?
Kathy seconded, but I don't want it to be specific to one station. It should be specific to them all.
The language was management recognized to unpaid staff organizations. Is that okay?
That's good.
Okay.
So, all right. So on the first motion, Campbell, I'm going to tend to agree that the cabs can't be involved in that type of capacity since they're purely advisory in nature. So I'm going to rule that amendment out of order, but we do obviously hope to be some collegiality between the different people that are working on behalf of Pacifica and representing the public. So as to Tracy's amendment, you've got the language hashed out, which is that management recognizes unpaid staff organizations. Is that correct?